That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Does this describe your thoughts lately? I just can't seem to hold it together. The past couple of weeks, I've been crying at the drop of a hat. Or maybe this is you. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've just been in a funk for a few days. My husband is keeping his distance, and he keeps warning the kids, "Hey, steer clear of mom if you know what's good for you." And I know this would definitely not be you, but I bet you know someone that every single time you see them, they tell you all the great things that have been happening in their lives and how incredibly happy they are. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we've been talking about emotions, what to do with them, how to think about them, and what the Bible says about them. If not, and this is your first time tuning in today, I'm so glad you're here. Because here's the thing, if the world is talking about it, and I'm sure you've noticed, because I have, that the world talks a lot about emotions and feelings, like all day, every day. And if the world is talking about it, then we should be talking about it as believers. Not because we necessarily want to be talking about the things that the world is talking about, but more so because we need to have a biblical perspective and a biblical worldview on things, so that we know how to respond and how to think about things and what to say when we do hear the things that are being discussed in the world. And this is just so that we can align our minds and our hearts with the word of God and not be subject to the world's perspective on things. And here's the thing, this whole focus on emotions and feelings, it's not a new topic. People have been trying to put their finger on this part of what it means to be human for centuries. We talked on a previous show about one philosophy called Stoicism that has a particular viewpoint on emotions that's actually still hanging around in our secular and our church cultures today. The Stoics, they taught that emotions run contrary to reason, that emotions are not rational and not logical. And so the right way to respond to emotions, per the Stoics, is to train ourselves to be completely unaffected by our emotions. We're supposed to rely on our brains, not our feelings. And the whole goal is to avoid pain. In our current culture, this mindset, this philosophy, it still pops up in those posts from our favorite social media influencers that push the religion of self-sufficiency and drive that goal of willpower to overcome seemingly impossible circumstances, you know, like running with a broken foot for 300 miles in the pouring rain. And for Christians, that drive to draw on self-sufficiency, that inner strength thing, it's usually replaced by an unbiblical idea of, if you just had enough faith, none of this would bother you. Well, what about the other side of the coin? What about the opposite perspective from the Stoic view on emotions? And we could conceptualize that that would be a philosophy that encourages basically an unrestrained expression of emotions, right? We would say that this view would have to prioritize feelings over reason and over logic, and even actively seek intense emotional experiences. And these philosophies do exist. I would argue that this is the more predominant perspective on emotions in today's world. This idea of overindulging our emotions. Now, if you were to Google what is the opposite philosophy of Stoicism, you would most probably find a lot of information about hedonism. So hedonism is another one of those 6th century philosophies that came out of the Greek tradition. And this is the most extreme point of view when it comes to emotions. These guys believe that pleasure and immediate gratification are the primary goals of life. In fact, for the hedonist, pleasure itself takes on really a god status. I mean, you only live once, right? And y'all have all heard the term adrenaline junkie. You know those people. They literally worship the rush. They love the thrill of the risk. And they live off of that most high, most intense emotion. They indulge in everything and anything to get there. But I gotta guess that most of us aren't cliff diving or base jumping off buildings on the weekends. So let's dial it down a notch and take a look at what I'm gonna guess is what most of you are actually doing with your emotions. And I'll be completely honest, it's something I struggle with too. And that is emotionalism. Emotionalism is the philosophy that embraces emotions fully. So this philosophy says, hey, this is how we feel. We're going to allow our feelings to guide our behavior. And there's not much of a filter there. So based a lot on impulse and immediate feelings. And this is the mindset about feelings and emotions that says that we should listen to our hearts, that we should follow our hearts. And if this is how we're feeling, we shouldn't try to fight it or hide it. This is the perspective that says we can't help how we feel. This is how God wired us. So we should let the world know. Those that buy into this approach to the emotions, oh, they just let it all hang out. A lot of times under the guise of being transparent and vulnerable, but what they're really doing is allowing their feelings to rule the day, to dominate their conversations and to fill the pages of their social media accounts. Now, to clarify, I'm not saying that feeling is wrong or that we shouldn't share our emotions or that what we're feeling is sinful and that we should just bottle it up. In fact, in Romans 12, when Paul is instructing the church at Rome how to act within the body of Christ, he's instructing them how to relate, how to be in relationship with other Christians. He tells them in verse 15 that they're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. But that's not what emotionalism encourages. What I'm talking about here is an indulgence in emotions along with a public display of those emotions. And this gets to the heart of the problem with this mindset. This philosophy leads to emotional exhibitionism. Did your eyebrow just go up when you heard that term? I know mine did. I said, what in the world is emotional exhibitionism? This is a relatively new idea that has come about with the prevalence of social media, but it's not just confined to TikTok and Instagram. This is those that they almost make a career out of publicly displaying the raw and personal feelings and experiences they're going through. Maybe it's a fight they had with their spouse or the loss of a child or a traumatic memory, or on the flip side, the birth of a child. And I'm not talking about baby announcements here. I'm talking about the actual birth process posted on Facebook for all the world to see. And these are the pictures that are being posted that they're kind of difficult to look at. And they always have the long commentary included that leaves us all asking why. Okay, so maybe you aren't on Facebook, but you spend hours on the phone every day with your mom or your sister or your best friend venting about your husband's behavior. Or maybe you pipe up at every single Bible study meeting with a litany of all the ways God has gifted you or blessed you in the past week. Well, all of these things fall under the category of emotional exhibitionism. And what's the goal here? What are we trying to accomplish when we just let our emotions all hang out? Well, when we go through hard things or super exciting things, it's just human nature. We want people to know. That's why you're posting the pictures and the detailed play-by-play of the things going on in your life. That in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is the heart motivation behind it. Why do we want people to know these very private emotional things that we're going through? If it really is to rejoice with those that rejoice or weep with those that weep, then great. But that's not usually the case. I would submit that emotional exhibitionism is fueled by the idolatry of self. Laying it all out there emotionally, hey, it makes it all about me. My goal is to be seen, to be heard, to collect a following of attention, to get those clicks and those views and those encouraging words, those affirming comments. And what ends up happening is a sinful engagement with things like gossip and ranting and painting ourselves as the eternal victim, or even drawing attention to our own amazingness, while at the same time, we're exaggerating the unamazingness of others in our lives. The bottom line is that this is a self-serving, self-focused view of the emotions and how to handle them. It makes the world revolve around us. It makes us the center of the known universe, and it's not loving towards others. Not only that, it's the exact opposite of what the Bible calls us to do with our emotions. Okay, so what? So here's my point. When we talk about physical exhibitionism, we all know what to do with that, right? We know the verse, 1 Timothy 2:9, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. We're supposed to reflect our heart for God in the clothes we wear and the way we wear it. We don't have a problem with that. We can quote the chapter and the verse. Our love for God should result in choices that are becoming of a woman that's a follower of Christ. But have you ever considered the heart aspects of modesty as outlined by Scripture and what that might have to do with our emotions? Well, when we come back from the break, let's talk about this and think through a better way to handle our emotions than what really amounts to being one of those streakers running across the field at a football game.
And we'll be back with more from Libby in just a moment. You're listening to The Better Way. And you know, as she's been talking about emotional exhibitionism, I want to point you to a resource that maybe you haven't thought about. It's Dr. Greg Gifford's Transformed Podcast. What's powerful about this show is how it specifically addresses heart issues, kind of like what Libby's been talking about today. Dr. Gifford helps you understand whether your emotions are controlling you and showing you how to bring them under the authority of God's Word. And if you want to dig even deeper into that topic, Dr. Gifford book, Hearts and Habits, How We Change for Good, provides a very clear biblical framework for real lasting transformation. You can pick that up right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And if you haven't signed up to become a Fortis Insider yet, you're missing out. And here's why I'm saying that. 5 days a week, we're going to send you carefully curated biblical content that helps you think through these exact issues like what Libby's talking about. Also, you're going to get early access to resources before we release them to the public on topics about emotional modesty and other things. You'll receive invitations to special filmings and events when they take place throughout the year. You're going to find out about all of the deals and sales that are happening in the Fortis store before anyone else. Hey, it pays to be a Fortis Insider. You're just not paying. It doesn't cost you anything, but you get so much out of it. You can find out how to sign up and actually sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org, completely free to join. And you know, what's been incredible to witness the last several months, it's the way God is using the sound biblical teaching coming out of Fortis Institute. We have brought together 8 powerful voices alongside of Todd here at Fortis Institute, trusted teachers who are helping equip believers to navigate the daily challenges that you're facing. And our commitment to biblical truth has never been stronger, especially as we live in a culture that constantly tells you to just follow your feelings. If you've been encouraged by these biblical perspectives on handling emotions and everything else that you encounter through Fortis Institute, would you consider joining us in this mission and becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Remember, your primary giving should always be to your local church. That's a non-negotiable. But if you're able to partner with us in this mission, would you consider and pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions I know you have about what it would look like in your life to do that right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Libby Glosson. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glosson.
So before the break, we were talking about the philosophy of emotionalism and how this idea of just feeling every feeling unchecked is so dangerous. And it can and does lead to emotional exhibitionism. And that just means that we're finding ourselves not only being emotionally overindulgent, but we're also exposing all our emotions for everyone to see. That's the exhibitionism part. You know, it's so funny to me, as Christian women, We seem to easily grasp the call to physical modesty as Paul outlines for Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:9, but we completely miss the implications for our emotions. We totally get it that we're supposed to reflect our heart for God in the clothes we wear. Our love for God should result in choices that are respectable, that are becoming of a woman that's a follower of Christ. We know we're supposed to wear stuff that's consistent with Christian character. We get that. We also understand that we're supposed to dress decently and modestly, remembering that God gave clothes to cover, not draw attention to our bodies or intentionally provoke attention from men. But the reality is, that's not all that modesty is. Scripture says that God does care about our outward appearance and our inward appearance, but it's our hearts that He cares most about. Listen, there's nothing inherently wrong with our bodies, just like there's nothing inherently wrong with our emotions. We are image bearers of God in both our physical selves and in our emotions. But then we also read in Scripture that we're supposed to honor God with our bodies. And this means our emotions too, ladies. So what does it say? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And then, just one chapter later, in 1 Corinthians 7, we get some more comments about our bodies. In verse 4, it says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And that means the way that we express our emotions impacts our husbands. And the way that they express their emotions impacts us. So what's the conclusion we can make here? Well, the first big easy conclusion is we don't go running around town in crop tops and shorts, right? Because why? We want to honor God. And we honor God in how we dress physically by saving our bodies for our spouse and by loving others well by not providing a source of temptation. And guess what else? If we are honoring God, and if you are married, there are things that are absolutely okay to wear or not wear in front of your husband, but not in front of anyone else. This is the same with emotions. This goes for our emotions too. There are things that we can expose emotionally in front of our husbands that we should not expose in front of anyone else. Just like clothing and outward appearance, we've got to understand that our love for God should result in respectable choices when it comes to displaying our emotions. So let me ask you this. Is how you express your feelings consistent with your Christian character? Modesty also means that we guard ourselves from emotional indecency. This is a good place to check yourself. Are you posting that picture or that story on social media to draw attention to yourself? I would submit that is emotional indecency. Sometimes those are emotions that are meant to be kept close. It's not honoring to God to just put every feeling you have out there on display. Remember, we're supposed to honor God in all things. Is what you're saying or posting pointing people to Christ? Or is it pointing people to you, your suffering, your sadness? And can I also submit that it's disrespectful to your husband to post every nitty-gritty detail of last night's argument on Facebook, or to share your frustration with him for leaving his shoes in the middle of the living room for the fifth day in a row with your Bible study group? That stuff is between you and him. That's emotional stuff that you're supposed to keep between the two of you. Well, maybe it's a family situation. Maybe there's been a loss in the family or a struggle or a relationship issue. Keep it in the family. That's where those emotions belong. Modesty, in essence, is really putting on Christ. Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." When we make provision for our flesh to gratify its desires, we let our emotions hang out. But true followers of Jesus know that He is the big deal. He deserves center stage, not us, and definitely not our emotions. Listen, ladies, we're to understand and live out 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12. And that just simply says that we're supposed to aspire to live quietly and to mind our own affairs and to work with our hands so that we can walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Your emotions, how you express your emotions, how you allow your emotions to function in your life. Are you living quietly? Are you minding your own affairs? Just something to think about. One last thought here on emotional modesty and what God has to say about what his people should be wearing, what we should clothe ourselves with. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:3-4. He says, "Do not let your adorning be external." So we're acknowledging that there is adorning. There is something that we're supposed to put on. He tells us what we're not supposed to adorn ourselves with, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothes that we wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. There's that gentle, quiet spirit again. Emotional modesty should be about that hidden person of the heart. And our being emotionally modest is equal to that incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And that's what is precious in God's sight. Now, I know I've given you a lot of scripture today, but I want to add one more just to make the point solid. Colossians 3:12 says that we're supposed to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. What are you clothing yourselves with when it comes to your emotions? Now, let me just say, I know this is not easy stuff to talk about, and it's definitely not easy stuff to hear. So let me encourage you. If you're recognizing yourself as we're talking today, please don't lose heart. This is what sanctification is all about. I bet you've never considered that your emotions are part of the sanctification process. I think a lot of times we relegate sanctification, which, by the way, sanctification is just the process by which God makes us more and more Christ-like through our lives after we come to saving faith. So we relegate sanctification to those big sin issues, but we never think that this could actually apply to our feelings, our emotions, and how we express them, but it absolutely does. I can't remember if I've mentioned this resource in a previous episode, so if I did, forgive me, but this is really one of my favorite books. It's called Feelings and Faith by Brian Borgman. If you haven't read it, pick up a copy. It is fantastic. He writes in the chapter on biblical anthropology, I think it's chapter 3, he says that in redemption, God is putting things back into alignment. He's recreating us in the image of Christ. This process of recreation entails every part of our humanity so that our minds are being renewed, our wills are being brought into conformity with God's will, and our emotions are also being reconstructed, renewed, and realigned. And it's a process, ladies. So be patient. Be patient. Be obedient, but be patient because God is working to make you more like Christ every day. One other resource I highly recommend as you're thinking through this and examining your own heart in regard to emotions is Dr. Greg Gifford's show called Transformed. He has a couple of awesome episodes on emotions. He discusses how to figure out if your emotions control you, and then he also gives some solid biblical wisdom on how to take those emotions back for the glory of God. So, ladies, as you are thinking through your emotions and thinking through emotional exhibitionism, emotional modesty, and how the Bible calls us to function within our emotions, what to do with them, how to handle them, how to think about them, let me leave you with this thought. Living modestly is to proclaim the glory of the great God we serve. And this applies to emotional modesty as well. This is the idea that we're to make much of Christ, not ourselves. And we're supposed to proclaim, like the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 115:1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. So as we think about our emotions, remember, it's not our name on the line, it's God's glory that's on the line. And now that you know the better way, now that you know what the Bible says about emotionalism, emotional exhibition, and emotional modesty, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.